nose. He saw me stagger in here February 2008, and I've known him since day one, or maybe day seven, something like that. But I've known him since I've been sober, and he's become a very good friend. I even got to hang out with him a little while while we were painting the inside of Central a few years back, and I thought I was helping. He'd probably tell you I'd gotten away most of the time. But anyways, you didn't come here to hear me babble, so here's Al.
Thank you, Marty. This is not one of my favorite things to do, but my sponsor always told me if it involves AA, say, yes, I'd love to. So, yes, I'd love to. My sobriety date is February 27th of 2006. That's by God's grace, getting a good sponsor, working the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. I think AA really has saved my life. It is changing me. I didn't get here real early in life, not as early as I wanted to, but I've been told it was when I was supposed to. I think one of the main things that kept me out was a lot of good luck, or you might want to call it luck. It was a long time before I had to pay any consequences. Back in 1970, I was driving back from Tampa, getting ready to go on vacation. Had been over there partying, heading back. It's about 2 o'clock at night. 1970, a lot of cars didn't even have seat belts. There was no requirement that you wear them. So I'm on my way home, and I started nodding out. Of course, I had been drinking that night, and after I ran off the road about the second time, I buckled up for some reason, and third time I jerked it up too hard. I went down into the median. I was on I-4 around Winter Haven, and was going through. Sliding through the grass sideways, and I really couldn't see what was coming, so I decided to sort of lay down, and next thing I remember, I woke up, and my head's in the floorboard, and this was back when 8-track tapes were the going thing. Thank God I was by myself. I had a case of 8-track tapes sitting in the shotgun seat. And when I woke up, they're all over the place, and where the seat was, there was an oak tree, and it wrapped around. If anybody would have been with me, they would have been dead. That was in 1970. I got a ticket for failure to have vehicle under control. No breathalyzer. It was 32 years later, the same month, I got pulled over in a company vehicle. I had a cold one between my legs. I had a cold one by my side, and I had a big old fat bag of pot in my back pocket, and I know this is Alcoholics Anonymous, and but that's, I'm a product of the late 60s and early 70s. I vaguely remember some of it, but at any rate, 32 years without a moving violation. And I remember they took me to the substation. They're filling out the paperwork, and this big black woman, she's filling out the paperwork. She's looking over her glass, you know, writing. She stops and looks over her glasses, and she goes, 52 years old and still smoking that shit, are you? Yeah. She said, when are you going to grow up? I didn't have an answer, you know. So that started, that's when I was first introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. The court thought it would be good that I do that among other things. So, and I'm on probation. About every 2 months, I'm getting a new probation officer. Everything's going smooth. Doing my community service. Paying my fines. I get a new PO, probation officer. And his name was Reuben Smith. Come up there, and he's going through my paperwork. And he, yeah, that looks good. What about this AA thing? Oh, I just haven't gotten around to it, you know. And this was about 9 months to my 1 year probation. And he looked at me. He said, well, you better have two by next month or I'm violating you. And I remember going to visit my probation officer, and when you saw a squad car sitting out front, you knew somebody was going to take a ride. That I only spent like 12 hours in jail. I didn't like the food. I didn't have anything in common with anybody else other than we all wanted out. You know? So anyway, he starts leaning on me about this AA thing. So, all right. So I, Southside, which is in South Orlando, was the closest one to me, and I started going. Went to my second meeting, got out of the meeting, and we're out front shooting the breeze, and this guy, he's looking at me, he's going, looks like you've got something on your mind. What's bugging you? I said, well, I'm supposed to go fishing with my brother tomorrow, and I know he's going to be drinking beer. And he gets that AA grin on his face, you know, and says, I ain't no big problem. Go fishing and don't drink beer. And I'd been hearing the God thing and everything. And this guy said, go fishing and don't drink beer. That was my last meeting. I walked out. And to top it all off, I had 12 meetings I had to attend in 12 months. And I thought that was excessive. You know? So after that, I said, man, this guy might know something about sobriety, but he don't know shit about fishing. So I forged the rest of them and got through it, you know, and about that time, my wife started going to AA, and about 2004, she came home one day, and she said, you know, you've either got to quit drinking or you got to leave. And I went, now, let me think about this a minute. And I didn't get think out of my mind, and I knew my plan. You know, I got me a toothbrush, a pair of underwear, my fishing stuff, boom. Went over to New Smyrna. My brother lived over there. So for about the next year and a half, we were separated, and I was partying hard, going strong, working hard. I was a firm believer in working hard and partying hard. And I tried stealing once. I'm not a good thief. I got caught. I said, that was embarrassing. You know? So I figured, well, if I'm going to drink, I've got to maintain a job. Now, how I did it, I was actually pretty good at it. But that job that I ended up losing that job, I had that one for 23 years. And I was driving every day. You drove to the customer site, fix their equipment. It'd take me an hour to get up to Ocala, and I'd have my route planned out. Go up the I-75, get up there, bam, hour 15 minutes, I'm up there. Finish up all my jobs. It's time to head home. Well, that usually took about 3 hours to get back because I went through the Ocala National Forest and then down 19. I had it timed. Two tall boys will get me this far. I had my piss stops picked out, and I don't know. Only got one DUI. I should have had many, many. I'm lucky I never killed anyone. At any rate, I didn't get here. Well, yeah. After I had ran out of work over in New Smyrna Beach, and a buddy of mine called over here in Orlando and said he needed some help. I came over and started helping him. And one afternoon, I'm sitting in the backyard. I'd knocked down about 18 beers, and I'm sitting there feeling just lousy about myself. I was to the point now where I could not stand to be around me. And I don't know what was different, because I've said many times while I was drinking, I'm just going to try to make it 1 week without it. And this particular day, I said, I was going, I'm going to, and I really prayed. That's the first time I really closed my eyes and said, I'm going to do this for 1 month to prove that I don't have an alcohol problem. And then adios, I'm out of here. So that was my decision. So I went in and told my wife, and she said, well, I hope you're doing it for yourself, because I'm packing my shit and leaving, So she packed and left. So it was just me and my son. And looking back, it was probably a blessing. I don't know. I'm sober today. I can't honestly say how it would have gone with both of us in the house and me not drinking. At any rate. So after about the third day of not drinking, I started shaking. She hadn't left yet, and she's going, well, you either need to go to detox or you need to go to AA. You need to go somewhere. Me being the ego maniac that I was, well, I'm definitely not going to detox. I'm going to go to AA, right? So I came to AA and walked in the door. That's this side door. The other door wasn't there at the time, and I parked as close as I could to that that door so I could bolt and run if I had to. And this old mechanic buddy of mine brought me. He had been coming. And I walked in here. I did not have a bubbly personality for damn sure. I was shaken a little bit more by this time. I was probably redder than a damn fire truck. And I did not like you people. You had that damn grin on your face, laid back look, and I'm just going damn crazy inside, you know. During the first week, we read the doctor's opinion, and I read that, and I said, oh, buddy, my plan is screwed now, you know. It explained to me right there why I never could drink two beers. And to be honest with you, most of the time, if there was only one beer, I'd just soon not have it, you know, because I like much beer. And then tequila, and then vodka, and then whatever, you know. At any rate, so I knew my plan was screwed. I'm going, damn, I'm going to have to get a sponsor. And for me, that was hard. Asking for help was hard for me. You know, I just, my dad had this mentality of that I inherited, you can do it by yourself. And I guarantee you one thing, in my opinion, no one can successfully stay sober by themselves. I know I saw my father get sober, and he was a miserable, miserable man. Thank God by that time I was out of the house. My mother is the one that had to deal with that. But so anyway, I got to get a sponsor. After a meeting one day, and I walk up, and here's three guys standing there, and I'm going, hey, need to get a sponsor. Yeah. Yeah. How do I do it? Well, you got to ask somebody. And they're all still just smiling big. So I asked this guy, hey, man, will you be my sponsor? Are you serious about this? I said, yeah. Get a big book. Get a highlighter. Start reading and highlighting. And I remember I was on my way home that day, you know, and I'm going, man, I finally got a sponsor. That's the first big hurdle. And then it hits me, you know, and I'm going, why'd you pick that Puerto Rican guy? I figured he maybe no comprendes. I'll be able to do a little slipping and sliding. But it didn't quite work that way. He wasn't as sensitive and sympathetic as I thought he was. So anyway, I'm coming every day. I'm still not liking you people. It was the only place I had to come. My body, my mind didn't want to drink. My body was just all over the place. It felt like my head was like about 3 feet this way. But anyway, so I got the sponsor, and I'm not a social person. As a matter of fact, I was an antisocial drinker. You know, hey, all I want to do is drink. Leave me alone. You know, so I didn't know that my sponsor was the damn social butterfly of AA. And he'd be, hey, have you met Al? Oh, yeah, we've seen him. Oh, well, sorry about your luck. But he was a patient man. He took me through the steps. And I did some laughing, you know, at the time it wasn't funny, but you know, after a meeting one day, you know, I'm standing out there and he's going, hey man, he said, I noticed you're not shaking as much as you used to. And I'm going, yeah, how? He says, well, usually when we hold hands at the end of the meeting, say the Lord's Prayer, he said, now only half the crowd's shaking. You know, rat bastard. And I had a hard time sleeping. You know, of course, I was replacing coffee with beer. And so, you know, I couldn't sleep at night. I was working. And about 10 or 11 o'clock, man, I could lay down on the sidewalk and take me a nap if I could get away with it, but I couldn't. And so I mentioned it to him one day. I'm going, man, this is killing me. It's going, I can't get any sleep. He said, man, I got some good news for you. And I says, yeah, what is it? And he says, ain't nobody died from lack of sleep. But, so he took me through the steps, and, you know, the first step, I knew I was an alcoholic. There was no question about that. I was going to debate the manageability part of it because, you know, hey, I got up every day to make my money, to spend it on my alcohol, to, you know, but walked me, you know, we gradually started proceeding through the steps. Got to the third step, and I'm going, oh, boy, I'm really screwed now because me and God just didn't see eye to eye. You know, of course, being the alcoholic I am, he let me down, you know. I tried to make too big of a deal out of the third step. I was waiting for the damn lightning to hit, nothing to happen, you know. Appendix 2 in the big book, The Spiritual Experience, helped me a lot. But basically, you know, it was explained, you know, that the third step, you're making a decision to continue. And, so that's what I did. On to the fourth step, you know, and he's every day. Hey, you working on that fourth? Oh, yeah. I'm working on that fourth step. Writing it down. Oh, yeah, man, I'm writing it down. I got it. Where is it? And I'm going, I've got it all up here now. I said, I'm going to give you 2 days. You better come back with some paper, you know. And I'm still shaking like a leaf, you know. So I write it out, you know. And we meet, and he gets the piece of paper, and he's going, what in the hell? He couldn't read it. I could, you know. It's looks clear to me. You know? But basically, it confirmed that I'm a egotistical, self-centered, selfish, fearful. I got it all, you know. I've got it all. And we went to the fifth step. And I don't know. I wanted to make a big deal out of the fifth step. You know, how many times I have thought about these deep, dark things that I did and used to say it, you know, or would think it all the time, you know, well, God knows what I did, you know. There was just something about it actually coming out of my mouth and it took a lot, you know. I remember on my way, we were going to do it at his apartment, so I took the long way, you know, over to his apartment, and it disappointed me that his car was there. So we did the fifth step, and before we did it, he invited God into the meeting with us. I did my fifth step. I still felt a little bit. The load was lightened a little bit, but he whipped open the big book, you know, and he said, okay, now go home, get in the quiet place, and reflect on what you've done so far working the steps. And so I did. I was sitting out in my backyard and just reflecting on it, and something happened. It's hard to explain it, but I've actually felt something. And I was over the DTs by this time, so I could rule that out. But something happened that made me feel a little more part of the group, you know. And I was, you know, he said cut 90 days and 90 meetings in 90 days. I didn't have a problem. I was out here every day. Thank God the picnic table was out here, because if I wasn't working or if I got off early, I came here and I'd sit out. I might sit out there for 3 hours. Ran into these two old boys. They looked like Mutt and Jeff. One of them was tall and another one, he's short, you know. And it, I mean, everybody intimidated me back then. Brent intimidated me, and he's the little black man that walks around, you know. But anyway, they were at one end of the picnic table, and I was at the other, you know. And I didn't say anything, you know, for about a week, and gradually got to know him. And I kept coming back, and I gradually got to know a few more people. Well, you know, they're maybe not, they're not as bad as you really thought, you know. But went on, you know, the sixth and the seventh step. I'm going to be doing that forever. There's some things I still don't want to get rid of. That I love shooting myself in the foot, you know, and my mouth, I can sit there and go, you probably shouldn't. It's none of your, it's none of your business. You don't know. Oh yeah, they've got to hear it. This is important shit, you know. The eighth step, no big thing, you know. I took the list, you know, my four step list, and, doing it was altogether something else. But I remember my wife and I were still separated, and we were in contact. And I was going over to see her one. Well, I wrote out my ninth step, what I was going to say, and everything. And took my sponsor's advice. He said, look, you know, take her out to a nice restaurant. And I'm going, yeah, that sounds good. Probably won't get shot in a damn restaurant, you know. And, so had it set up for, was going to do it on a Saturday. I was going over to see her the Wednesday before driving. I get this great idea. I'm going to do it today. So went bouncing in there, and I told her, I said, look, I'm ready to do my ninth step with you. She said, looked at me. She said, I'm not ready. I said, you're not ready. I'm the one that's going to spill my guts here, but no, I'm not ready. Son of a walked out of there, I'm pissed. Call my sponsor. Man, I'm on the phone. And she says she's not ready. I said, what's the problem? What do you mean, what's the problem? I said, I need to put you on my ninth step list. That's going to be the problem. You know, but anyway, I did a ninth step as best I could. I've had many opportunities to continue making amends. The 11th step, the prayer part, I got down pat, the meditation, nah. If I've got a fishing rod in my hand, I can meditate. You know, as a matter of fact, I went fishing Wednesday, and it's nothing better than holding a fishing pole in my hand and just looking out at the ocean as far as I can see and just go blank, you know, not think about anything. The 12th step, I haven't sponsored many people, but I have helped around the clubhouse. I know I did have one sponsee who came up and he asked me, hey, I want you to be my sponsor. And he's going, yeah, okay. I said, yeah, okay. He's going, well, he says, I've got the first three steps, you know. He says, I have no intention of doing a fourth and a fifth step. I'm a grown man, and on and on and on. And I'm going, I don't know how to do that, man. The only way I know how to do it's how it was taught to me, you know. I said, the only thing I can tell you is, hey, if you feel like drinking, give me a call, man. Show up tomorrow, you know. But, it took me a long time to realize that I have no control over anyone other than myself. While in sobriety, my mother passed in 2011, she used to she was always complimenting me on getting sober. You know, and I had to tell her, you know, look, this is nothing I did. I showed up. That's all I did was show up. So she passed in 2011. She got to see me sober 5.5 years, which I love Alcoholics Anonymous. my brother, I've got an older brother. I had an older brother, and damn if he didn't pass about 4 months after my mother did. And I'm glad it happened that way, where she didn't have to go through his death, and it wasn't pretty with him. He got a stroke, and he was on his back for about 2.5 years, and it was, I mean, just going to see, going for a visit was a chore, you know, but it was one of those things that that I had to do, you know. It seems like everything I've had to do in Alcoholics Anonymous that made me feel uncomfortable, I really needed to do it. Because, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm the oldest teenager in the damn room. You know? But, I am changing. I am changing, you know, and, I've had a lot of fun. I thought my life was over, because I wasn't a binge drinker. I was a perpetual drinker. I mean, every day, I did not miss a day. Every day. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I'm drinking. You know, when I was in New Smyrna, if the humidity got too high, we shut down and went to the bar. You know, but, so I have, you know, I'm on this bowling team, with, 3 other AA people. There's 4 of us. It started out a few years ago. We had about 3 teams and, you know, just go there and enjoy ourselves. One requirement is you better not get too damn serious about it, because if you ain't laughing, you ain't bowling with us. You know, we're there to have fun. You know, my buddy old Brent and I went over to Johnny Powell's house for a party one night. Johnny's got this pit bull. You know, she'll lick you to death. But Brent and I went up there and I knocked on the door and the dog started. She's raising hell. Somebody cracks the door open and I'm behind Brent and get the black man, get the black man. And we all laugh, you know, we could all laugh about that. You know, my damn sponsor, and that's what amazes me, you know. He's a wino junkie from the streets of Brooklyn. His sponsor was a Kentucky pig farmer, you know, and I chose him. And I'm, you know, I was born in Key West and spent most of my time in Georgia. I'm a damn cracker, you know. And come to find out, this Italian Puerto Rican guy's got some cracker in him too. You know, I don't know how God worked that out. But you know, I've had a lot of fun, a lot of fun, and I'm getting ready to have some more. It's coming up race week. But I 2014 didn't start out real good for me. My wife passed. It'll be a month tomorrow, but and she had been in ill health. But it's one of those things where it was just a normal day, you know, and didn't really expect anything dramatic to happen, and it did. And, you know, by the time I got up to the hospital, I turned around, and here's 2 people from AA. How in the hell did you find out, you know? Yeah. Oh, don't worry. And they were up there. mixing with my family. My kids were there. My sister was there. Her, some of her kids were there. My wife's sister was there, and her brother-in-law, and I was concerned about my son because he didn't really take the passing of my mother or my brother well. He had trouble with it, and so I was concerned about him. But at the moment, I was focused not on it. I wasn't focused on my family. I was just focused on what was going on. And we made a decision to disconnect her because she had a heart attack. And at any rate, we got in a room, family decision, you know, to unhook her, and we did. Everybody was gathered. You know, since she had been in the hospital, she hadn't moved, nothing. After they disconnected her, I don't know how long it was, but all of a sudden she opened her eyes up, and they were focused. And she looked around the room at everyone, you know, and then she passed. And I happened to look over. Happened to look over at my son. And here was one of my AA friends with her arm around his shoulder, comforted him, and it was that meant a lot. Alcoholics Anonymous has given me more than I ever dreamed of. I was only going to be here a month, and I was leaving. You know, God willing, the end of this month, I'll have 8 years. It's nothing that I've done. I remember when I was sober about a year and a half, and my wife called and said, I'd like to move home. I said, well, let me think about it. So I talked to my sponsor, and he's going, man, he says, you need to pray about it and look for a sign. Okay, so I started praying about it, and I'm looking for a sign, and I'm looking up in the clouds and the trees, and I'm being the great procrastinator I am, you know, I'm still thinking about it. One Sunday I was in the kitchen, and I look out the kitchen window, and here comes her car, and it's all packed up. That's the same. That's insane. But, you know, we were married 41 years and 41 years and 10 days, and I was a bad boy, you know. She put up with a lot, you know. I remember the day before she got married, she said, don't worry, baby, nothing's going to change. And I held her feet to the fire for a long time. So if you're young and you're here, you need to do yourself a favor and stay. Keep coming back. it ain't going to get better. If you have an alcohol problem, it is not going to get better. I had a list of reasons why it wasn't going to work for me, and it worked in spite of me. I'm so grateful that that I kept coming back, and I don't care if you're young or if you're old. If you want to get sober, you can get sober here, and you can stay sober here. Just keep coming back. I know when I first started, I was working with a painting. They wouldn't let me do any cut-in work because I could shake the paint. Worked with this guy. He's a little short. And I heard him say one day, he said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks, you know. Resentments aren't good. But, buddy, I lived on that one for a good year. I said, I'm going to show this little short bastard. But anyway, thank you, Marty, for inviting me to speak. I will make sure I can return the favor. And I know there's things that I forgot to say, but what I can say is keep coming back. That's what they kept telling me, and it would annoy me. And going, I don't have anywhere else to go, man. What that, you know, but it was a good thing. It was a good thing, you know. That picnic table out there was a big part of my sobriety. A big part of my sobriety. And, you know, last week I got pissed here at a meeting, man. I wanted to wrap my hands around somebody's neck, you know, just by what they said, you know. And everybody's got their own opinion, and that's a great thing about it. You know, I get an opportunity to work on my tolerance every time I come in here. You know, there's some people, you know, that I really like, and I'm sorry, you know, I am not a well man. I am where I need to be. Just keep coming back.